Good morning again. I'm going to ask you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of Matthew, and we are going to read together this account. The message title this morning is Wise Men Still Seek Him. Before we read that account, how many of you in here, we talked last week about Joseph and Mary, and I don't think anybody's ever, has anybody here ever been baby Jesus? Was anybody here ever baby Jesus? I don't think anybody ever is, you know. They always have somebody up there besides that. How many of you were wise men? How many of you got to be a wise man? Raise your hand up high if you're a wise man. One in the entire group. You know, did you have to go through qualifications for being a wise man? Did they ask you what your qualifications were, Dean? Do you remember? Why did they choose you to be a wise man? You don't know. I don't ever remember there being a short wise man. You ever notice that? They always had tall guys. It was always the big guys that were the wise men. And I think maybe because they look more stately, you know, and more wise that way. But there's a lot of things about the wise men that we don't understand. And it is an interesting phenomenon. We're going to take a look at some things about them this morning that perhaps maybe you knew, but perhaps maybe there's something new also as well that we can ponder upon. Read with me in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he began to inquire of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler, who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from them the time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and make careful search for the child. And when you have found him, report to me that I may too come and worship him.' And having heard the king, they went their way. And lo, the star which they had seen in the east went on before them, until it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And they came into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. Opening their gifts, their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their own country by another way." Father, we pray that you would just open up our own hearts to understand how these men came to seek you, and Lord, how you want us to seek you as well. May our hearts be touched by that today, in Jesus' name. Amen. There are a lot of things and accounts about the wise men, and you know, you've seen different things. We have portraying them coming in with the shepherds and all that, but you know, there's some interesting things about the wise men that we don't really know. We aren't really sure. In Matthew's account of Jesus' birth here, we briefly meet what I would call a band of travelers who have mystified Bible students for years, because there are just some things we don't know. There's really not very many details that we have about them. So we don't know a whole lot. We don't have any idea which country they came from. We know that they came from the east, and we know that they came from a country somewhere over in that area, what we would call the Orient. But we know very little about the system of belief that they represented. And we know little about how they came to know the meaning of this star that they followed. They just show up, they give their gifts, and then they disappear. And that's all we really know about them. But I think there are some things that we can learn today. One of the things is that history does indicate that these Magi probably, who were these wise men? Well, they probably came from an area called the land of the Medes and the Persians. And that's one of the things that we can probably say about them. They came from the land of the Medes and the Persians. There are records that indicate that the Magi, as the Bible calls them, the Magi were a priestly caste of these Medes. They were people who occupied the land east of Palestine and south of the Caspian Sea. And it really is where, if you were to look on a map today, it's where modern Iran is located today. So if you go to Iran, you look at that, that's where these people probably came from. They were very active in the Old Testament times. They were active throughout Babylon, and they were active throughout Mesopotamia. So that's about as much as we know. They were part of this. And these Magi would have been part of a priestly form of an ancient form of religion called Zoroastrianism. Now, you pronounce that and spell it. I can give you the spelling if you want to. But the practices of this priestly estate, if you want to call it, were very similar to that of the Jews. They recognized and believed in one God. They had a blood sacrifice. They had the priesthood, which was hereditary. They had their clean animals. They had their specific rituals. But that's where the similarities ended. Because basically, this form of priesthood was basically satanic based. It was based upon superstition. It was based upon fear and not truth that was revealed by God. So that's where these Magi would have originally come from in terms of their background. They were practitioners, in essence, of the occult. Our modern word, magician, comes from these people. So when you think of Magi, this word magician comes from these people. I don't think it's coming up. Can you see it? Okay. All right. We're not going to worry about it. I'm going to tell you. Or you want to write this down. How's that sound? Okay. All right. And that's what we're going to take a look at. But they were practitioners of the occult. That's where the word magician comes from. They were also, too, you need to understand this, they were considered to be the scholars of their time. They were the wise men. Hence the word wise men. That's where we get this word wise men. They were extremely, extremely wise. Not only that, they were men of great power. A man could not become a king. You know, we sing, we three kings of Orient are. Well, they were really magi. But a man could not become a king in that period, in that area, unless he had practiced and was aware and was able to do all of the things that the Magi did. So they were the astronomers, and they were the astrologers. They were the scientists. They were the mathematicians. They were the doctors. They were the philosophers. They were the legal authorities of their culture. These men were extremely powerful. In fact, without these men and their approval, you would never become a king. That's how powerful they were, king makers. We're not told how these men came to believe the prophecies of God and that they were being fulfilled. We are looking for him, they said. Notice this in verse 2. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We're looking for him who was born the king of the Jews. They were seekers. And they reflected the attitude of faith that we should have today. We're going to look at three things. First of all, they were seekers of truth. That's your heading, seekers of truth. The Bible says in John that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and what? In truth. In truth. You have to worship God based upon his truth. What is truth? What do we see as far as truth from God's perspective? Well, God's plan was to send a Messiah. That's the truth. He was to send a Savior. Emmanuel, as we saw from Ron's presentation, God with us to die for us on the cross. Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come into the presence of the Father except through Jesus. Here is the key. If you want to write this down, the essence of God's truth is this, that man, apart from God, is hopelessly lost as a sinner and needs a Savior. Man, apart from God, is hopelessly lost as a sinner and needs a Savior. Now, Satan, who is the father of lies and the domain of darkness, he has craftily and demonically come up with lies. And he's come up with different ways to supposedly find the truth. That's why we have so many religions today. They're really a deception of Satan, trying to get all of the people to not believe in the one truth, the one God. But only God is the revealer of truth, and only He is the one who is truth. Therefore, if you and I are going to be like the wise men, as they did, we must be coming to God on the basis of His truth. That's the key. You must come to God on the basis of His truth. A lot of people get into deceptions, and they get into false teachings. They get into what I would call rabbit trails. Why? Because they do not stay with the foundational truths of the Word of God. And that's part of Satan's tactics today. And we're seeing it even among believers, that he will do whatever he can to get them off the path of God's truth. You need to have the foundation of God's truth if you're going to be able to be a true seeker of God. So it was God himself who revealed to the Magi that they were to go to Bethlehem. They didn't know where they were going, but it was him who led them. It was God who reveals himself to you and me as well. Remember in the psalm that I read that we're to seek him? God says, seek me out. And if we seek him out, he gives us his guidance. So we've got to respond and follow it. Their desire was to find the King of the Jews and to worship him. They wanted to come and pay him homage, which means that they saw him as more than just a man. They saw him as God himself, because you would only worship God, nobody else. So they saw him that way. They stepped out by faith when they began their journey. If you and I are truly seeking God and his truth, we must step out by faith. Now, sometimes you may not know where that's going to take you, as they did. They stepped out by faith. It was probably months and maybe even a couple of years that journey took them, but they stepped out by faith. So if we're going to be seekers of God's truth, we must step out by faith and believe that he will do the next thing. And that is, here's the second heading. Seekers trust God's guidance. Seekers trust God's guidance. First of all, you're seeking his truth, and then in your search for truth, you need to trust that he will provide that for you. He will give you his guidance. Now, we find the Magi here at the birth of Christ, and somehow, as this star appears, and I believe that the star appeared to him when Jesus was born. It says that the star appeared to them in the east. What that meant was they were in the east. They were in the Orient. Okay, doesn't mean that the star came up in the east and went this way. No, it means that they appeared to them in the east. I believe that the star, from the timeline here, appeared to them at the time of Jesus' birth. And at that point, they realized that they were to seek the true God. Now, somehow they understood that prophecy of the Messiah. I don't know how that happened. We can speculate a lot of things. Perhaps it was teaching that filtered down in the days of Daniel. Remember Daniel? Remember he was a man of God, greatly used by God? Well, Daniel, who was a wise man in those days, would have been of the same, not the priestly order, but the same order as the Magi. He would have been considered a Magi. Daniel had tremendous influence in his time there in captivity. He taught the people in those days about the Word of God. And he would have told them about the prophecies of God. He would have talked to them about the things of God and what God had promised to the nation of Israel. He would have told them that. And so perhaps there was this prophecy that had been passed down to some of these wise men. We don't know. In some way, it appears that God confirmed to them that the prophecies concerning the Messiah had been what? Fulfilled. When that star appeared, there would be that child who would be there. There's a verse in Numbers 24:17 that says, a star will come forth from Jacob, and a scepter shall rise from Israel, and will crush the forehead of Moab and tear down the... Maybe that's where they got it, but we're not sure. Somehow God revealed that to them. What was the star? What was it? We have the star on top of the tree, and we have these wonderful stars. And Bentley, when we lived in Bentley, I love that they have a tower up there. It looks like a castle, you know, an old castle tower. And on the top of that tower, every Christmas season, they had this gigantic star, probably just as big as this whole area here. One year, I got the privilege of helping them crank that up there and put new bulbs in it. But the star always reminds us of Jesus' birth, of his arrival. And so somehow we don't know what it was. No one knows what it is. The scriptures don't say. I believe that somehow this star was the representation of what we call the Shekinah glory. It was the Shekinah glory that went before Israel. Remember when they were in the wilderness? It went before as a pillar of fire at night. When they traveled at night, it was a pillar of fire. And then in the daytime, it was this wonderful cloud, this bright cloud. I believe that it was probably the same kind of Shekinah glory as the shepherds saw when the angels came and announced the birth of Jesus. There was something there about this, and it was a phenomenon that has never been there before. So whatever that star was, it was something that God gave. And what was the significance of the star? Here it is quite simply. It guided them to Jesus. That was the purpose of that star, guiding them to Jesus. If we as the Magi are truly seeking God, then we have his assurance that he will lead and guide us. We are not going to have a star necessarily, but he uses his word. He uses the word of God. The key is, though, that we do what the wise men did, that we follow. Sometimes we don't want to follow the guidance of the Word of God. Sometimes it seems harsh. Sometimes it doesn't seem fair. The wise men followed. They left their familiar ground. They ventured out, not knowing where they were going. When you and I trust God, here's the promise. He will provide guidance. We must trust God with our whole heart. The Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways you acknowledge him, and he what? Will direct your paths. He will guide you. He will lead you. So the wise men were getting their guidance from a star, uncertain where it was taking them. They traveled a great distance. Often in your life and in mine, we may have to travel great distances spiritually to get where God wants us to be. Paul says, I am confident that he who began the good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus. We have the assurance that God's guidance and his direction will be with us throughout our lives. But sometimes we have difficulty in following him the way we should be, because life can sometimes be confusing. Sometimes life can be very difficult, can it? As we try to figure out what we're to do and where we're to go and what we're to be. You see, the psalmist understood our thoughts. In Psalm 73, verses 16 and 17, the psalmist said this, When I thought about trying to understand this, when I tried to wrap my head around this, basically is what he's saying, he said, it was troublesome in my sight. I couldn't understand it. He said, until I came into the sanctuary of God. Until he came into the very presence of God. Until he came in and spent time with God. I have a question for you today. What is it in your life that is troubling you? What are the uncertainties? What are the doubts? Where you're to go? What you're to be doing? And here's a big one that we oftentimes, will I be all right? We want to be all right all the time, don't we? It's troublesome at times. That's why daily, you and I, as the psalmist, need to come into the presence of God and talk with him in your own way. Spend time in the sanctuary, because until you come into the sanctuary, you're not going to be able to truly understand where God can speak with you. The wise men were led by the star to Jesus, who is the source of peace and of guidance. And if you and I are going to find true peace and guidance in our lives, we must come to Jesus Christ. Apart from him, you can do nothing. I think we need to have the same attitude as the writer of the Hebrews says. Let us draw therefore near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find help in time of need. So as the star and God's promises illuminated the way for the wise men, God's word in your life in a practical way, the word of God right here, will give you guidance and accurate direction for your lives, because it always points to Christ, who is the light of the world and the author of faith. Lastly, seekers, as the wise men did, will come and worship and serve God. It's not enough to seek God for His truth. It's not enough to understand and seek for His guidance. But when you do receive it, then you must become a worshiper and a doer. Paul, James says, don't be just a hearer of the word, be a doer. There must be something that is acted out in your life, as it was in the life of the Magi. It's interesting from the text that and this is sometimes hard for some people, but if you honestly look at the text says that they came, I believe, at a different time than when Jesus was born. Look at the text when it comes here, and what does it say about when they came? In verse 9, having heard the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen went before them until it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and they came into, what does the word, your text say? The house. The house. Now, they didn't come into a stable with the manger, but they came into a house. It also is interesting to note that they saw, and the word their child is a word that is called paedon in the Greek. It's called paedon. It's a word for child. When you go back and you look at the other accounts when it talks about Jesus in the manger, that's a word called brephos, B-R-E-P-H-O-S. Why is that? Why am I telling you that? Because they're two different words in the Greek. The word child is someone who is an older child, maybe 1 or 2 years of age. The word brephos is for an infant baby. What does that tell you? It tells you that the Magi were not there probably when Jesus was born, but later. Because they saw his star when he was born, they followed it. It took them months and perhaps a couple of years to get there. And even as you go back and you look at what Herod did, he ascertained a child would be born. To him, that was any child from 2 years of age and under. When he had all the children killed, the males, he had those that were 2 years of age and under, because he wanted to make sure that he got it right. So when we see this, this suggests that the time of the visit of the Magi was later than the time of the shepherds and visited at a different location. But God in his grace, whatever happened, led them from a pagan land of the Gentiles into the very presence of Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Praise God, he does that for you and me as well. When they met Jesus face to face, the Son of the living God, they fell down and they worshiped him. It says that they fell before him, and then when they came, they fell down in verse 11 and they worshiped him, and then they opened their treasures. Worship is really a reflection of our love for Jesus Christ. If we really love and worship our Lord Jesus, we will be people who will freely give to him. Not only just our money and our wealth, but also our time. As we sang the one song this morning, I thought it was interesting. I wrote it down that it says, all of our costliest treasures bring. We talked about the kings. All of our costliest treasures bring. You know what that means? It means the treasures cost them something. If you're going to truly worship God, it may cost you something. Not just to give out of your abundance, but to get out of your need. Worship is that reflection. The wise men, after they worshiped God and they fell down before him, it says that they gave him gifts of what? This is where we kind of get the idea that there were three. Okay, we don't know for sure. There may have been more. But they gave their gifts of gold. Gold spoke, and I love the way God did this and the way he orchestrated all this. Gold speaks of what? Of Jesus' royalty. And he is the King of kings. And then frankincense. What was frankincense? It was something that spoke of worship and praise. And then myrrh. Myrrh spoke of embalming, which would reflect the fact that Jesus would someday die on a cross and be laid in a tomb and would be, in that sense, prepared for burial. Myrrh was that which was prepared for burial. So these wonderful gifts were given, I believe, by God's hand. And whether they fully realized it or not, this child would be the one who would die on the cross for them one day for their sins. These men were transformed. in their lives by meeting Jesus and visiting him. A heart that has met Christ and has been transformed by his great love and grace will worship him and give back to him. So if you're a true seeker, as these men were, you will worship God and you will give of your wealth, whatever that might be, back to God, and out of a heart of love for what he has done. Gifts that can be used for his glory. You see, it's interesting that God knew that Joseph and Mary would be called from there to go to Egypt and to live for a number of years because Herod would still be searching for them. They were poor people who had no money. So what did God do? In his grace, he provided gold and frankincense and myrrh, costly items that could be sold and used to live in the land of Egypt until they came back. I love when God does that. Sometimes we don't always understand his plan. We don't understand his ways. But if we trust him, we know that he will provide for our needs. Have you met Christ? Are you giving to him out of a heart that loves and adores him? Just as the greatest gift we can receive is eternal life in Jesus, the greatest gift we can give is our whole heart in service to him. That's the greatest gift that you can give to him throughout your life, not just this Christmas. We're then told that the Magi went back by another way in verse 12. Having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their own country by another way. They were not the same. They were now true worshipers of God who would go back and proclaim to the people in their area of Iran who they saw, who truly was the Messiah. And God would use that to spread his glory to the nations around. They sought and found the true living God. The key is wise men today still seek out Jesus, or they should. In all the world, there are only two kinds of people. There are fools and those who are wise. Those who are fools are those who reject Jesus as Lord and Savior. Those who are fools don't necessarily hate Jesus, but they don't care about him. The Magi were truly wise men. It wasn't convenient for them to come to Jesus, and it meant great sacrifice for them and great time, but they pursued until they found him. How about you? Who or what takes first place in your lives today? There is only one measure of whether or not you are a fool or a wise. In Christ, the Bible says, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. May you truly be wise this Christmas, and may you seek him with all of your heart and come and adore and serve him. Father, we pray that you would help us to truly be men and women and young people who truly seek Jesus Christ, who are truly wise people, seeking not only his truth, but also his guidance. And then as we receive that, as we enjoy the fellowship of his presence, that we would freely give of our lives and of our talents and of our money to your glory and to your honor. May that be the reflection of our heart this season, in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we close our service, let's stand and sing. We're going to sing a song of Bethlehem and Calvary.